Welcome to Books on Air, the show that tells you, the listener, the story behind the book. I'm Suzanne Harris, and I'll talk to the author about their latest project, where you can find them on social media, and perhaps we'll even give you the opportunity to meet them. Joining me today to talk about her fascinating book is Christine Andrew. The name of her book is Food Isn't What It Used to Be, A Biblical Approach to Health. Christine, welcome.
Thank you.
This book is so interesting and so exciting. I can't wait to start talking about it, but I want our listeners to learn a little bit about you as a person, because your background and your credentials are really impressive. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I started my education actually as a music therapist. So I have a bachelor's degree in music and music therapy, and did that for a while, and then I went on to get my teaching credential, and I taught school 25 years in lower education, and I, at that time, loved the nutrition and the health subjects, and I just felt this need to continue my education, and I left teaching to get a diploma in nutrition and furthered my education as a functional medicine consultant. And so that was in 2010 that I finished my functional medicine course of study, and I continue to learn and grow just in webinars and seminars that I attend, and I just eat up information that I can. The more I learn, I just get excited. There's so much to learn.
I couldn't agree with you more. You also, not only have you written the book, but you also write for a local magazine in Vacaville, California. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the Vacaville magazine, and in fact, many of the articles that I started out writing for Vacaville magazine, I used that same information in my book. So it was instrumental in the putting together this book. So, because people would ask me about different subjects. And, I already have an article about that. Oh, I already have an article about that. Well, I'll just put it in one book.
Where did the idea, tell me the story behind the book, because this is such a fascinating idea. Where did the idea come from?
It actually started when I was working with my homeopathic doctor for my internship. And so this was in 2004 when I started my my education, and then in 2006 when I did my internship with a homeopathic doctor. And he had given me a lot of information just by sitting, learning, growing with him. And some of the topics he gave me some background information about. And I said, wow, this information would be such a great outline of a book. And so I asked him if I could use some of his material and references, and he allowed me. And so I put together this outline, and from this outline, I developed every bullet from there. So that set me on a path of researching. Okay, so here's this information that I had. What does research say about it? So then that's, you'll see in the end of the book, all of my bibliography. That was a lot of reading.
Extensive research. I did notice that.
Mm-hmm, that was a lot of reading. And if I didn't have a book on it, I went to my files on research articles. What does the research say about this? And then, well, what does the Bible say? Well, yeah, let's go to that. That's what does the Bible say about this? So I did. That was a lot of fun, finding things in the scriptures and what was written there 2,000 years ago, and how it's still applicable to today. So there's biblical references and research as well as scientific research.
And so interesting and so relevant for today. Now, I'm going to ask you a question that I know it's going to be difficult to answer because the book is just so filled with information. If there's one thing from the book, one point that you could really get across to our listeners to let them know what the really important message is behind the book, what would it be? I think that's an almost impossible question for you to answer. I'm sorry, but I want them to hear some of the things that you have to say in the book, because I think it's so interesting and important.
That is a hard question. But I think one of the most important is why I wanted to also write this book is to educate the public about how they are being deceived by the medical industry and the food industry. That's which is why food isn't what it used to be. And so I talk about why it's not what it used to be, because of what the food industry has done to the food. And so I want people to know, what has the food industry done? Why is the food not what it used to be? What has been done to it? Why and how it has been manipulated, adulterated, if I may use that word.
You can, yes.
And nutrients, why they're stripped. And what the medical industry, how they have deceived Americans. Not just Americans, but all over, but mainly Americans. So that's the one thing that I think is the most important about this book is that very thing, which is why I titled it, This is Why Our Food Isn't What It Used to Be. And time and time and time again, Facebook post after Facebook post, I see about the food, and I have to always respond the same way. Yep. Food isn't what it used to be. Yep, that's right. Food isn't what it used to be. How it's been changed, and it's no longer real food that people are consuming.
And every day, it seems, there's something new on the news about the latest diet, or what's wrong with this, or you shouldn't eat that, or you should. I mean, it can be so overwhelming and so confusing for people because they don't have the background that you have and haven't done the research that you have. So I know they're sitting there thinking, well, okay, what should we eat?
So that's in my book too.
What a trick.
Because, yeah.
You've got to buy my book.
I go through all these, you know, what's happening, why, and but I don't leave the reader, well, now what do I eat? I talk about, well, what do we eat now? What do we drink? What are things to drink? And so I do leave the reader with some hope about what can we eat.
And there are some recipes, and there's an ancient diet meal plan in the appendices of the book. One thing that I thought was interesting and that surprised me was that you have in the appendices information about biblical essential oils. Tell me a little bit about the essential oils role.
Well, when I was developing this and talking about the diseases of old time as compared to the diseases that we have now, and I began to think, well, what did they use back then for remedies to heal with their infirmities? So I started to research that and found out about the biblical essential oils, and I thought, this is just so fun and fascinating to read about that these oils have been around for thousands of years, and that's what they used for healing. and that they are around still, and they still can be used for healing. So that's when I did my research about which oils and what the oils were used for even back then, and that are still now touted to be useful for certain things. So that was fun. And so now when I come across these oils, or it just brings it to life that these oils, there's something to them. And so I use oils, essential oils, in my everyday life myself. And so now people have a reference, which oils and the scriptural references, and then the usefulness of each oil.
I thought that was so interesting, and you've also included herbs. And our listeners may be saying to themselves, well, wait a minute, what's the difference between essential oils and herbs? Are they the same thing?
No. Yes and no. There are only so many plants that give off an essential oil that is useful. Other herbs, the oils can be extracted from the herbs, yes. But they don't necessarily have an essential oil that is useful for us. So, like, for instance, jasmine plant. If you cut the plant, it weeps a white, oily substance. We can't use that. But the flower, the jasmine flower, an essential oil can be extracted from that. And that is useful and medicinal, but the sappy part of it is not. So for instance. But there are plants that do not have an essential oil that can be extracted from it. So they are herbs, but they're also citrus. Citrus has oils. Spices have oils. So there's herbs, there's spices, there's citrus that can that have properties of essential oils.
Gosh, you've done so much research. I was sitting here thinking about, you made me think about tea and chamomile and some of the other mm-hmm. things that you can brew that may not necessarily have any kind of essential oil. I'm just so interested. Our listeners may be curious if they could meet you, and I know that you're about to head to Tucson. Tell me a little bit about the Tucson Festival of Books.
Yes, Lit Fire Publishing has several book fairs throughout the year, and one in London and another one in Tucson, and there's some down in the Mexico region. So when I was contacted by Lit Fire, they asked if I wanted to participate in the Tucson. And at that time, I thought, Tucson, that's close by, I can do this. And the more information I got about it, I got really excited, and I chose to accept that. So we're heading out March 10th, and the book signing is the weekend of March 11th and 12th at the university there in Tucson, Arizona. So it's a two-day event, and I'll be there on Sunday morning signing books. So these book signings are free books. So it's an opportunity for readers to get a free copy of my book, but I'll be there to have it's a personal signing. So it's fun. It's fun. I get to meet other authors and connect with them. So that's kind of fun.
Is there a website for the Tucson Festival of Books?
Lit Fire Publishing, on their website, they have the events.
Perfect. And they probably have the schedule of what mm-hmm. authors will be available and when, so that if mm-hmm. our viewers didn't write that down, they'll be able to go and find it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
This is so interesting, and I'm enjoying talking with you so much, and I know that we have piqued the interest of our listeners, because we've only just scratched the surface of the things that you talk about in the book. Let's talk about where it's available. Now, I always check Amazon just to make sure that I see the book there before I say anything, but there it is. I went to the Amazon.com website, and I do the little drop-down menu, and I put in book, and I put the name of the book into the search feature. And I could probably just put in Food Isn't What It Used to Be by Christine, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, Andrew, A-N-D-R-E-W, no S. They could probably just put that much in and click on it, and it would come up.
Yes, I've also found it just through the title, Food Isn't What It Used to Be, or through the publisher. If they do Amazon Books and Christine Andrew Light Fire Publishing, they definitely will get to the book that way.
Is it on any of the other publishing websites that you know of, Christine?
I think it's on Barnes & Noble. I'm not really sure. But it's definitely on that. It's also on my website.
Let's give your website so that our listeners can find the website.
It's my name, ChristineAndrewAuthor.com.
And that's how I actually found you the first time. I clicked on that and I thought, well, there she is. So it works very well, by the way, just so that our listeners will know.
Yes.
And
that way, if they go to my website, they can get a signed copy. If they go to Amazon, they're not going to get a signed copy of my book.
Oh, that's perfect. I'm so glad you said that. Give that web address one more time.
It's www.christineandrewauthor.com.
Are you doing any other social media? Is there a Facebook page?
Yes, I am on Facebook.
How could they find you? Just put your name in on Facebook and there you are?
Facebook, yes. Facebook.com/ChristineAndrew-C=Charlie, N=Nancy, C=Charlie.
I knew we'd run out of time because there's so much to talk about. Are there final thoughts that you'd like to leave our listeners with about the book, Christine?
Oh, my gosh, that's a huge question.
I know.
I would hope that as the readers read this book, that they would really consider the outcome of their food choices and what the consequences are of their choices, and also that there are natural alternatives and approaches to healing that were applicable thousands of years ago that are still applicable to today, and that they would take a different look at their food, and that it's not that difficult to make changes. It can seem overwhelming, but even a little change, like water instead of soda, just one little change can make such a difference.
It's been an absolute pleasure and a delight to talk with you today. Thank you so much for being my guest today on Books on Air.
Well, thank you for having me. This has been a pleasure for me as well.
And we're glad that you joined us today. Remember to join us next time for Books on Air. And until then, buy a book, read a book, share a book. And thanks so much for being with us today.